So I am so happy to be sitting here with my good friend, Jeff Pearson. Jeff is the director of the Office of Public Art for the City of Charleston. I'd like to ask you now, for communities, small towns, big towns, anyone that is wanting to approach public art, what is the first thing that you would tell the communities that they should consider if they're wanting to embark upon a project?
That murals are great. We do a lot of good things with murals, but there's also all kinds of public art projects you can do. Public art doesn't have to just be on a wall. You know, you can start small. We have wraps. We have trash can wraps. We have bus wraps. Vinyl wraps is what I'm talking about, where it's not original public art, but it creates that that sense of public art, and it does impact. We consider them pieces of public. When you see those art buses driving around Charleston, we consider it public art. That's one thing, is start small, but also, you know, getting things hands-on, like PolyTab. Again, I want to jump the polygun. I did it again. I jumped the PolyTab gun. Back that up. But I think starting small, knowing what your community has and what resources it has, and knowing that you can work with just about anything. You can do a lot with a little bit of paint and a lot of hard work. Mm-hmm. Other places that do not have public art offices, that the process still stands. If you have a good idea and you have people that know how to make it happen, and that comes from knowing where the resources are in terms of funding, having the knowledge of knowing what paints to use, and there's a lot of resources online for that. Other public art offices around the country have those resources.
And it's amazing, like the grants that are available through our State Commission on the Arts, through the National Endowment for the Arts, who don't get enough applications from West Virginia, they say, and then corporate sponsors. It's amazing how much people are willing to support a project in their town. And
I think, the other thing, the grant, so public art, I'm not using the word trend because we're here to stay. But public art is new-ish in terms of what we're doing, the way we see public art now. I'm talking as a country. We do a lot of murals, but there's a lot of different kinds of public art, and it's not just murals. They're probably the easiest sometimes. But, I think it's understanding what it takes to make a mural or make a piece of public art is important, too. That it can be some cans of paint and a wall, but also it can't just be cans of paint and a wall. You have to have so many components. You have to have the community engagement. You have to have a community buy-in. That's important. Because if you don't have that, you're going to lose speed. Because if you don't have that support, you're not going to have those steps. You have to have, if we support this project, then you're going to support this project. If they support this project, they're going to support this project. So community support is important too.
Yeah, it's oftentimes like public art can just like spark a whole snowball of community building. And it is oftentimes the case that a mural becomes the entry point, because like you said, it was one of the most accessible projects. So maybe we could talk through just sort of step by step the different components of what it takes to make a successful mural. So I would ask you, when you're looking at a mural project, what do you think is the most important first step to do? Is it your location, or is it selecting your artist? Is it the concept? What do you think is the first thing to do?
Again, I think it's the same with the idea. It can come in any of those three ways. The most successful is knowing what you want, and that can be the canvas. That could be the building. The trouble is, the hard way to articulate that is that sometimes we're approached. You know, the public art project starts with the building owner, so then the canvas is first. Mm. But then sometimes you have an artist that has an idea.
Right.
But more than likely, it's the canvas first. Mm. We have had projects in our experience that we have an idea, but where are we going to put it? Most of the time, it's site specific.
We touched a minute ago about how public art is so many things. It's not just murals. It's sculpture. It's temporary art. It's so many things. But in a lot of times, in a lot of cases, a mural can be the entry point for a community. It's kind of like the most, in some cases, the most accessible way that a public a community can embark upon public art. So I kind of like to just touch on the components of what makes a mural project successful. What would you think is the very first thing a community should consider when they're looking to create a mural?
I think the first thing, generally, is you need a building. You need a space. You need a flat space that's prepped well. So many times we put murals on buildings that are not prepped well, and you're backwards. So finding a location, finding a building, making sure it's in good shape.
What makes it in good shape, and what do you consider about the surface?
So surface, the surface quality of a building, look for moisture, look for chipping, because it'll save you so much time and headache later. There's murals in Charleston that have beautiful murals that we had. We had to redo almost all of, half of them, was one particular I'm thinking of. And also, in before we get to the building prep, once we know that the building is good to go, the first thing really should do is get your building easement from the building owner. And what that does is it locks in the mural. So if the building's sold or something happens for 10 years, 20 years, however long you make that easement, the mural's protected. It's a mural protection for the building, for the artist, the building owner, for the artists, and all those involved.
So I've heard that called an easement stipulation and like the contract and the purchase contract. Back, we were talking about the prep of the wall and the surface, and I've known about this product called a Loxon masonry sealer, and I've seen it just work wonders on walls that are chipping. Like, what are your thoughts on that, or are there other products that can?
Yeah, so there's a lot of resources online. You know, every project has its own challenges. You know, I can go with some specifics about moisture in general. Yes, that's a good product. There's actually, one thing I tap into more than anything is our city engineers. I know not everybody has that resource, but finding people that know masonry, finding people that know more than you do, that's, I think, the best advice I can give that I've learned in terms of what I've learned most about being in this position is asking questions from people that know more than I do. Yeah. Then you become the person that knows more than the other person, and you're able to help. Same. And I've learned so much about masonry, water, bronze, things I never knew about these things, that I can go and help other people. But it's finding people that know those things.
Yeah, and that's a really good point about public works and your city engineers and such. Even small towns like ours, like we're in Princeton, and our public works department was able to prep a wall and pressure wash it and even do the primer coat for us. That was a really great partnership.
Excuse me. And priming's so important. Again, once you have it prepped with the actual wall itself, the primer is so vital, because if you don't get it all sealed in before you start painting, you're in big trouble.
Right, the right primer.
And then once you have a building, you have it easement and primed. and priming. Then you you've already started doing this, but you have to start looking at what it is. And a lot of times it comes through the artist. And some people have an idea of what they want. Oh, we want this to be about airplanes, and that's great. But you always want to have that ability to have the flexibility in what you're bringing to the table. And a lot of times, having an artist at the table obviously is the best choice.
And I can follow the artist's vision. It's like, what do you see?
And I think that we need to lean on those visions. That part is the artist has the vision. That's what they're there for. And so the best way to get the artist is, there's several different ways, but the best two ways is an RFP or an RFQ. An RFP is you're asking literally for the artist's vision. It's called a request for proposal. So you're asking for an artist to take that blank canvas and say, if you were able to do this, what would you do? No theme, just open-ended. The second is RFQ. An RFQ is a request for qualifications. And you have a blank canvas, but you think, we have an idea of what we want. Let's get an artist and talk to him about it. So it's more of a dialogue with the artist. And you can, and those, each one of those different processes has variables in themselves, so you can kind of adjust things for how much control you want, how much flexibility you want with the artist.
You talked about prepping a wall for painting onto it, but then there's also other methods as far as attaching panels on buildings or using polytab, like we mentioned earlier.
So again, I don't want to use the word trend, but we found during COVID actually that we had to come up with alternative ways of making public art. We didn't want to stop making public art during COVID, but it's not how we discovered this product, but we started using it a lot more, and that's polytab. Polytab is a fabric that you can paint anywhere with anyone and then install it just as if it were paint. You can just glue it on the wall, just like wallpaper. And we've used it in so many situations you can go and work with kids that cannot be on scaffolds. People that can't climb scaffolds or be working out in the heat. So polytab is a very versatile material for that reason. And then the artist himself, comfort. You can work in the wintertime in your own studio, take it back out in the spring and slap it on the wall. We use metal. Metal's a great medium. We use it for things like Artist Alley, which we stole from Princeton. It's a great, again, I don't want to go on another subject, but That's an idea. You know, idea sharing. That was a great one. That's a great one. Artist Alley. But we used metal, aluminum. So I would always steer away from wood products. There's not even the marine board. It's better off to use metal if you can, or polytab.
Interesting. Not to get too deep in the weeds on it, but you just want to make sure. I remember when we first started our public art, we had a signage code, or we had to go before our zoning board, but then they realized, oh, actually, you don't need to come before the zoning board if it's art. And what are your thoughts on?
So the process, going back to that idea that, you know, some cities have a public art office, most do not, but they do have cities and city governments. And so you want to make sure that you're good with everybody. And that could be zoning, that could be planning, sometimes, and if it's small enough, a city council. Mm-hmm. But basically, you want to make sure you're aware of all the rules.
You're aware.
You have to. It's on you to make sure that, right, whether you're the building owner, the artist, or just the person organizing the public art project, the worst thing you can do is assume that it's okay. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't give the advice to ask forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the thing, is we've had so many projects where they thought, let's ask for forgiveness instead of permission, and then we're backwards, and we have to help them get out of it.
Yeah, but I have given the advice, and I think I still would, on don't ask permission from anyone that you don't need it from.
Exactly.
Because to your point, being aware of what the rules are so you can follow them, but not going before entire chambers of commerce or entire city councils and asking people for permission if you don't need it.
Oh, I 100% would give that that advice, because we've done that ourselves, where we asked people that didn't really have, and so we had kind of more layers, and you want to have as little layers as possible, right, but you want to make sure you're doing the right thing. And again, as public art becomes more popular, more cities, more governments, even at the small county level, or smaller counties rather, they're starting to get more resources from the other cities and the state and federal resources of how you do it. Mm-hmm. And the more people do it, the more people know about the process.
It's interesting, earlier you were mentioning how you're kind of like writing the book because there was no public office before, and you're writing as you go. And I know in Princeton that's the same for us. There's not really one specific guidebook. We're all sort of like creating what works for us. And
it's hard. Again, it's hard because all across the country there's all these different public art projects or organizations or offices or grant programs, but there's no one solution for all. It has to be what fits for your community. And what works in Charleston may not work in Princeton or Huntington or Morgantown or, you know, smaller counties. But if we take bits and pieces that can apply to us and learn from those.
So, we talked about finding a location prepping the wall and all the different ways that you can either paint a wall or attach it on the wall. What happens when you have made it through the process and you have finished the mural? How about protecting it?
So it's key. There's so many ways to seal a mural, or even just a sculpture too. The sculptures need protected as well, and there's a whole another conversation we can have about bronze and how you take care of bronze, how you take care of metal. But I think most importantly is knowing your product, knowing your materials, and the research. The resources are out there, just making sure you find those. But generally, sealing your murals with a graffiti coating or a concrete sealer. Specifically, we use, there's Vandal Guard now that's really been used well. It's a thinner one. Sherwin-Williams makes a great product that's called graffiti coating. It's really rubbery. Mm-hmm. Again, if you don't need it to be graffiti coated, meaning if it's high enough up that you don't think you need it, you still need to seal it with something. There's not a 100% UV protectant out there.
So the colors don't fade, right?
Right. So, but sealing it gets you closer. Murals have a lifespan because paint has a lifespan, and knowing your paint is key as well, is making sure you get the most life out of your paint, getting the best paints. I don't want to do any commercials, but Nova Color, mm-hmm, Golden are the two best you can get. Sherwin-Williams is fine. You get down into the lower, the cheaper paints, exterior house paints are fine. Making sure you get the best quality, though.
And making sure they're exterior, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Don't ever use interior paint.
And never, ever, this is kind of a specific thing, but they sell paint samples, mm-hmm, for like really cheap. You can get big old things of paint samples. Mm-hmm. Never use those. Never use the, you have to really know, I'll just say by saying, know your products well.
Know your products.
And if you don't know your products, find out very specifically.
And so find somebody who does know.
Right, right. Go back to what I said before. If you don't know, find somebody who does.
And if you're looking for information on any of this, you can always reach out to us. And if we don't know the answers, we will connect you with the information or somebody who has it. So don't ever go at it with
a... Yeah, if you're in doubt, definitely check. So one thing that we've learned is it has happened with some projects. Artists will come to us or they'll come to us and say, we use this. Maybe you should have used that. It's better to know before. Yeah.
So you've completed this amazing work of art and you've sealed it and protected it. How about celebrating it? What are the best reveals that you've seen?
So not only do we get the really great feeling of completion and finishing something, that's when you really get your community fully, like that full impact of what they've done. And even if they haven't painted it hands-on, they're part of this now, because they're going to take care of it. And that's how you get them really engaged in a bigger picture as well. As we like public art. Look what it's doing for our community. Look at everybody that's out here having fun. And you start to build that community pride and that togetherness that will help fuel your next project. And then again, the stories are so great. You know, we've had so many, we've brought people have been part of our projects here. It's just so touching what people have done and been a part of here. And we hope that echoes throughout the whole state and the country.
So we've heard a lot of really great examples of great ways to go about public art. I want to know about the pitfalls. Like, if you're talking to a community who would like to go about public art, are there, you know, kind of heralds of warning to what not to do?
I think the two biggest things is know your materials. We've talked about, right. I've said it many times now, know your materials and know your pace. So what I mean by know your pace is you have an idea, don't put it on the wall tomorrow. Think about it, get engagement, get community involved, because sometimes what happens is you have that rogue idea that, I'm just going to go paint this on the wall. Then you have feedback, right? With feedback, it's not always positive feedback. So then you're not hurting yourself as an artist, but you're also hurting your community of artists, because now public art's a target. Because, they did this, and then we don't like this. And
that's right.
So you have to know your pace and know your community, above and beyond just the materials themselves, but making sure that you have people engaged in what you want to do. And not, maybe not just the artists, even your community members and your building owners, not just saying, this is my building, I'm going to paint this on this building. Think about it beyond that it's your building. It's the city's canvas or the space, the community's canvas, even though it's your personal belonging. Make sure that you have that engagement. I think one of the biggest things, too, is maintenance. You have this beautiful mural. You have a beautiful dedication. Then what? 2 years, 5 years, 10 years from there. You have to make sure that you have a maintenance plan, even if that's not a mandate. Do it for yourself as a sponsor of an organization or as the artist, to make sure you know what it takes to take care of that piece. Because if it looks bad, sometimes we've had murals or public art pieces that we would rather not be there than to look in the condition that they are. And just because you have a public art office doesn't mean that that office is going to take care of all those things for you. So maintenance mandates are ideal, but if you don't have a maintenance mandate, having a maintenance plan internally is paramount. Here's what I think about public art. I think more than anything is possibility, that sometimes it's challenging. Sometimes it can be a headache. You think it's never going to happen, but it is possible.
You mentioned that it takes time sometimes, and I think I've seen in a lot of communities that they get into the process and they get into the permissions and all of like the red tape and stuff, and they get really down on themselves and they think, this is never going to happen. And they think that, that's uncommon, but it's not. I feel like in every project I've seen, it takes forever, and it just does. And when you finally make it to the finish line, it'll be so gratifying.
Well, primarily because of COVID, we had some projects that lasted 3 years.
Wow.
And there was a lot of discouragement because you think this is never going to happen. But we also have had projects that just like that. Yeah. So I think the key there is to be patient and know your pace. And understand what that pacing means. And if you don't quite get it, find the resources. And there are people out there to help you.
Tune in to the last episode of this mini-series to hear about more very special public art projects and some that were created with the versatile material, PolyTab.